Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the finished work of the cross. Lord, in every way you're enough. You're more than enough. And I just pray that over Kenny right now. I thank you for him and just his generous support to so many of us. He carries the fragrance of Christ. And Lord, would you just radiate from him today with the things that you have for us? And would you just make your word come alive in him? And Lord, would you just bring us to your table? We want to partake of who you are and receive the grace that you so freely give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brad. Yeah, I'm with Gord. When it's Baptism Sunday, there's something about it, it fires me up. I was fired up all week. And as I was preparing the message, I felt the same thing. Very excited about God's word and what he wants to speak to us. This weekend, we went to see the movie The War Room. Some of us went as a group. And I'm always a little bit leery when it comes to Christian movies. I like movies, and so I like well-done movies. And I've seen some cheese. Sometimes I think they can lack the finesse and the cinematography and a fluid story. But I sat there on the weekend riveted in my seat, choking back guttural moans and cries, tears flowing down my face at times. Sometimes I stomped my foot as I was watching, whispering the name of Jesus. You can talk to Paula and Fawn, who were sitting beside me. And it activated something in me, that movie. The War Room. I was inspired, I was convicted, encouraged, and in reflection, after I watched it, I reflected with the Lord, and two words stuck with me after the movie, and this echoed in my head. It was, rise up. Those are the two words that kept coming into my mind, what I remembered. So these two are the basis of the message this morning, as we talk about baptism and we talk and move into communion together. Today we heard testimonies of the work of Jesus in the lives of Batata and Hillary and Jessica, and that was exciting to hear the testimony of Jesus. In obedience, this is their act of obedience, to walk and share this through a public confession toward us. They're acknowledging that they have died with Christ and they have now risen up with him. Romans 10, 9 to 11 in the Amplified, if you want to throw that up on the screen. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you recognizing his power, his authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. So we witnessed that this morning, this open confession of Jesus as Lord. The water of baptism is symbolic of acknowledging and confessing our faith to the world around us. It's not just believing in our hearts the work of the Lord and raising Jesus the Savior from the dead, but it's publicly displaying our faith openly to our family and to those around. Water baptism is symbolic of being buried, being dead. It's a place where no life dwells. Think about that, about the grave. No life dwells in the grave. It is a powerful message. In this place, all our sin and the penalty of sin is buried with Christ. Sin is gone. Sin is dead. It has no life and no power and authority that it had in our life prior to. Romans 6, 1 to 4 says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Such great news, this new life, this rising with Jesus. And yet we even heard it in Batata's testimony, this difficulty at times to live this out in our life in a day-to-day basis. Sometimes we're caught off guard. We're walking down old pathways of sinful choices, sometimes old patterns of thought. We fight our fleshly desires of sin, sometimes winning, sometimes losing. And we wonder to ourselves, how come I don't do what I should do, and I do what I shouldn't? We struggle with our humanness, our strong propensity to not surrender. We often want faith and our relationship with Jesus on our terms, and yet the burial is all about submission. Jesus submitted to mockery, he submitted to death, and he submitted to being buried where no life dwelled. Jesus trusted in the faithfulness of his Father to raise him up. And so as we submit to Jesus, every part of us dies with him, just as every part of Jesus died in the grave. All our rights, our values, our opinions, our beliefs, our philosophies, everything dies with Jesus in his burial, and we are united with Christ. The power of our old sinful self dies away, and we rise up in new life with Jesus Christ, and he is calling us to walk in his ways. And we are called to trust the faithfulness of the Father who has the best life for us. Romans 6, 5 to 11. Since we have been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power over our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we have died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Jesus was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him, and when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. He lives for the glory of God. That's what I came from that scripture verse. He lives for the glory of God. Think about that. Jesus lives for the glory of God. I think of this being made new, this rising up with Jesus out of the grave, out of the water of baptism, cleansed, washed clean, purified, and made right. Where sin once owned us, where sin bound us in slavery, we are now set free to live our lives for the glory of God, just like Jesus did. Jesus lived for the glory of God. In every situation, every conversation, every relationship, in everything we do, we are now compelled to do as Christ did. To respond in his way, to live our lives fully dependent in submission of Jesus and his leadership over our life. This should affect us and how we live as brothers and sisters here together. And this should infect us with love and affection for our brothers and sisters, compelling each other to good works. I love that when Brad said, we have a role to play now in the lives of Hillary and Batata and Jessica, to encourage them in their faith. We're compelled to love them, and to press them into good works of Jesus Christ. The world should see us in new light. They should see a difference. Loving our enemies, turning the cheek, and rising up to give God glory and to make him known and manifest as we submit our lives to him. So then, brothers and sisters, Romans 6:10-14, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead. But now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And there we have it, God's grace. Not to keep sinning, but to live in this place of extravagant freedom. As we rise up with Christ in this place of grace, this unmerited favor, we take hold of the new life that we are called to live in. And as we rise in this new life, throwing off our old self, which is dead and buried, we now learn and grow in the faith. This is a place of learning and growing. I thought of this just like us when we were babies. Can we remember that far back? Some could remember sooner. But I thought of that as I was preparing the message, thinking about us as babies and learning with the help of our parents and our family. Those are our main people we learn from. We were encouraged to take steps as a baby. As a toddler, as we grew, there were steps that we needed to take. So we were encouraged to take steps so that we could walk. And we fell. And we were encouraged to get back up all the time. And if we didn't get back up, we wouldn't walk. We wouldn't walk. And we potty trained. And we had accidents, and more accidents. But we continued to learn and grow in that place. We learned and grew past our need for diapers. And our language, which began with cries and babbles that were we couldn't understand, they began to take shape to different sounds and words that began forming because we were looking out at the world around us and people talking. So we were looking at those around us. And we learned through watching and listening and obeying those around us. And we did this so that we could eventually grow up and be independent of our parents. So too is our utter dependence on Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, who is training us, he's equipping us with wisdom and revelation in this new life that we are now called to live, not perfectly, but dependent on Jesus, to help us walk in his ways, to help us talk like him. He is desiring us to grow up in the spirit life that we are called to live. And he knows we'll falter because he knows our humanness. What an amazing gift that Jesus walked on the earth and knew us intimately. He knew what it meant to be a human, that we would falter and fail. He knows we might fail. He knows we may say the wrong things, do the wrong things, make mistakes. But these mistakes are our opportunities. These are opportunities to learn and grow, to mature. And when we sin, we confess and we repent. And we learn to rise up after we fall each and every time because of the marvelous work of grace. This is grace to which we live our lives as believers. So today you've her testimony of Jesus in the lives of these three women, our sisters. We've heard them, their testimony of Jesus and their faith in the Lord, the power of his death and resurrection, this work of grace and the outpouring of love extravagantly to us. The truth is, if we don't believe this, we are bound. We are slaves to sin. We can strive to be good, but it will never be good enough. Our inheritance, if we don't believe in this place of unbelief, is a pension plan of death. That's the truth. If Jesus was right and was who he said he was, and I believe that's who he said he was, he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the atonement of our sin. And if he wasn't that, everything that he shared was false. And he was a false prophet. He was a liar. And he would be considered a lunatic. But the good news is that Jesus came to give us life, new life, that he came to give it to us in abundance so that we could rise up with him into the new life that he's called us to live. So if you're here and you don't know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants you to have it. I want you to have it, but Jesus wants you to have it more than me, because he's your king, he's your Messiah, he's your atonement, and he doesn't want you to have a pension plan of death. He wants you to have a pension plan of life and life abundant. He is extravagant, and his affection is toward you, and he wants you to experience that in your life, this amazing and marvelous grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you were not just a good prophet. You were not just a man who walked and said good things. Because if you were a man who just said good things, and yet you said you were the Messiah, and we didn't believe that, you are really not a good thing. But I thank you that you are the Messiah, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you that you died and you rose again to give us new life, and that you're calling each one of us to rise up with you. So Jesus, make yourself known. Make yourself known. I pray that you would move our hearts into greater awareness of who you are, Jesus. And I thank you for your kindness that leads us to repentance, a turning of our old self and a looking at you with full eyes, that you've called us onto the water. Amen.